This is Team Captain Kaylee McQuirkadale, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio on 89.9 KTSW.
And welcome back, everybody. Once again, I want to encourage you to hit us up on Twitter. That's at KTSW Sports. You can hashtag us at Bobcat Radio, or if you want to keep it specific, you can hashtag it with a little bit of Monday Mojo. Well, if you didn't or did not know, if you're a big Major League Baseball fan, I'm sure you did, the Major League Baseball draft was over the weekend, and we had one, two, three, four Bobcats taken, and five, technically, which we'll get into in here in just a little bit. But yeah, four different Bobcats taken. I was blown away, you know. There was a couple of people that I pretty much knew were going to get drafted, but to see four of them come out of there, that's awesome.
Well, it's a testament to Coach Ty Harrington producing, you know, major league talent. The guy's a, you know, can flat out coach. We've been talking about this forever. He's a good coach. He knows how to mold young players into future stars, and I'm really excited to see what happens.
No doubt. Under Coach Harrington here at Texas State, 33 Bobcats have been taken. That's ridiculous. And the most, I think somewhere in the 50s is how many total Bobcats, but 33 of those guys have been taken under Coach.
48. Yeah.
48 is what it is. That's awesome. So, yeah, you can definitely see the switch that came when Coach Harrington showed up. So the first pick we had, or the first player we had go was our pitcher, Austin Williams, to the Washington Nationals in the sixth round with a 184th overall pick. Austin finished the season with an 8-3 record, a 3.65 ERA, 96 strikeouts, 29 walks. He held opponents to a batting average of .239, and that landed him on the All Sun Belt Conference second team. Congratulations to Austin Williams, and we all saw this guy pitch. He was awesome. We knew he's just got that kind of it factor. I think he's going to succeed.
Right. I mean, looking at all that stuff, he finished fifth in the Sun Belt in opponent's batting average, fourth in innings pitched, and was second in strikeouts and strikeouts looking. And what those stats tell you is that he's got the ability to go deep into ball games, and he has stuff that not only hitters aren't able to get a piece of, but he's got pitches that are fooling hitters and keeping them off balance, a point that I know that me and Bill Culhane several times made throughout the season in just about every single one of his starts. And, you know, he's a guy that in his career has 149 in the third innings pitched, 98 and two-thirds of those coming just this season. Has given up 137 hits, 75 runs in his career, and he struck out 142. And, again, he ends up signing with the Washington Nationals, which we're more than assuming he actually will sign with them.
Yeah.
And I think that he's going to be a player that has a real opportunity to have a very special career.
No doubt about it. When we first started talking about who might go in the draft, I think Austin Williams was number one on all of our lists. Number two was actually Garrett Matledge, who was taken next. He went to the Detroit Tigers in the 12th round. Garrett finished the 2014 season hitting .308. He had 5 home runs, 37 runs, 44 RBIs, 35 walks. He basically led the Cats in any and every major offensive category. He made the second team All SBC as well. He's been one of my favorite players to watch. I mean, the guy can just flat out hit.
Yeah, there's a guy that he reminds me of a lot, and it's a guy that wasn't drafted very high in the draft either, from I believe Arizona State University, and that is Ian Kinsler. Matledge just plays the game with such heart, and has this offensive power that a lot of guys in the middle infield don't have. And so again, Detroit Tigers. After they picked up Kinsler, they picked up quite another. Yeah,
they're already
Kinsler 2.0.
They're already plotting his replacement.
What do you know?
Well, a couple more Bobcats went. Pitcher Taylor Black actually went to the Colorado Rockies in the seventh round. He finished the season, 2014 season, with a 6-4 record, a 2.85 ERA, 88 strikeouts, 25 walks, and depending on who you asked, I mean, he was probably our best weekend pitcher. I guess if you quote unquote the ace of the staff.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, I would agree with that. I mean, he and Austin Williams together were a crazy good duo that we had, and we're going to miss him dearly. But the thing is, he didn't let batters get a lot of contact off his pitches. You know, if they did hit it, it would be like a bloop single or something that you couldn't get to, because a lot of times when he pitched, it would be into a ground out or a fly out. He didn't let a lot of people get on base, and that was really important, especially with the lack of run support every now and then that would surface with the team.
Definitely. Not sure how I feel about the Colorado Rockies. It's a thin air up there, but hey, I always like to see them
drafted.
Right,
right. And just going off what Colin just said, Jeremy Fikoch, the Bobcat pitching coach, has been in the majors, has seen kind of what it takes and stuff. Taylor Black had a rough start here this season. He wasn't exactly what the Bobcats wanted, but going down the stretch, A little bit whenever Austin Williams started to fall off at the very end, Taylor Black was there to come through. And I believe Taylor Black got the first start in the playoffs, correct?
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah. And so he came in to be one of these really important guys. And it's one of these things that I think that Jeremy Fikoch does so well is teach these young pitchers to, again, keep the hitters off balance by mixing the speeds of their pitches and just making sure that they're fairly unhittable, as Colin said.
Yeah, and in another one, finally, catcher Tyler Pearson was actually taken by the Chicago Cubs in the seventh. Not quite known for his bat, we'll put it that way, but he's pretty good defensively, and I think sometimes what's overlooked is crediting the catcher for how well the pitchers are doing. They call the game, they've got a monitor, they're running on all the scouting reports. I mean, taking nothing away whatsoever from Austin Williams or Taylor Black, but you never know, he might pop up in the organization one of these days. The last one we'll talk about is actually pitcher Robert Dickey, who went to the Washington Nationals in the fourth round, actually, quote-unquote, the top Bobcat taken. The JUCO pitcher from Blinn finished his 14th season with a 3.82 ERA, 63 strikeouts, and 73 innings. The importance of this is he actually had signed with Texas State to come on over to us. I guess we'll all cross our fingers around here saying, maybe, but I doubt it. I'd love to see this kid pitch for Texas State, but I think after taken by the Washington Nationals, which makes two of our pitchers taken by the Washington Nationals. They have somebody in our organization that we don't know about, or one of y'all working for the Washington Nationals?
No, I promise. Like, that would be nice, but, I mean, you look at the Nationals, and they have, you know, they're known for what? Pitching.
Good young pitching, yeah.
And so when you have good young pitching, what do you try to, you know, in the draft, you think, oh, should we go for offense? Well, they did in the first couple of rounds, and so they went for guys who could hit flat out, hit the ball. But the thing is, when you have, you know, young pitching right now, if they get older, you have to replace them with more young pitching. And so it seems like they're really going, I guess, their minor league system to push for more young, talented pitching, because I really don't think it's one of the few things in sports that you can never have enough of is championships and good young pitching. So I got to applaud the Nationals for that. They did a good job picking good young talent, and so hopefully these guys are successful, and I think they will be.
Yep. So these 4/5 guys currently join some other Bobcats that are in the minors. Of course we have Paul Goldschmidt holding it down, who's still hitting .303, 12 home runs, 46 RBIs, pretty much all around the best first baseman in the game.
Monster.
I'll put it out there. I'll say it. I don't care. Currently, though, there's a few other Bobcats. Jason Martinson is a shortstop who's with the Nationals as well.
I'm telling you, Nationals.
Third baseman Kyle Bates with the Braves. Pitcher Carson Smith with the Seattle Mariners. Outfielder Jeff McVaney with Detroit. And pitcher Kyle Finnegan with Oakland.
Travis Blue actually is also with Houston.
Nice. I must have missed that one. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Back to my name drop.
So I guess my question in all this is there are some major hits to the program. I mean, not that it's a bad thing. We always love seeing our players move on, making it to that next round, getting it to that next level. But some people are going to have to step up. We lost probably our two best pitchers, our best hitter. So, guys, we've seen last season, Granger Studdard, Corey Geisler, the players that have been around for a while that, you know the game, they're definitely going to step up and do their thing. But is there anybody you're currently looking at thinking maybe this guy breaks out a little bit, steps up, becomes a leader?
Yeah, we've talked about this before, and Granger Studdard to me is just, I mean, I'm obsessed with him almost. just
it's okay.
Watching what he can do on the field, especially late in the games, and whenever I'm getting tired and ready to go home, it just seems like he just kind of understands that and just ends the game right away for me. I appreciate that. So that's a player that I look out for.
I agree with you. I think Granger Studdard is the feature of the program. I mean, he's going to get drafted soon enough, and the guy can flat out play. We talked about this. He hits the ball out of the yard. He makes diving catches. He's fast. He can run the bases. You look at a five-tool player, I think he's definitely got three or four of them, and just a little more coaching with Coach Harrington and the hitting coaches, I think this guy can really evolve to be a great prospect. Now, am I saying Paul Goldschmidt level? We'll see. That remains to be seen. But the guy can play, and I think he's going to step into the role that Matt Lidge had of being one of the driving forces on the Bobcat offense.
It's going to be interesting to see what he does with this offseason. I mean, a lot of guys will go play summer league ball, just kind of keep that up there. But one thing we have to remember, that Granger Studdard is just a freshman, or was this past year, going into his sophomore year. He's still really young, and so these bright spots I hope, bright spots, but, you know, it's one of those things that you can't take for granted.
Yeah, definitely. He's only been in the system 1 year. I mean, now he got under his belt, he'll get a little veteran. He knows how to play the games. He knows he's been in pressure situations, and he's come through in a lot of those pressure situations, which makes everybody love him. Definitely. Trey Hicks is a guy I kind of want to keep an eye on. I know he didn't all have that great of a season, but he's got a good pedigree. I think, again, once he gets in the system and starts working on it a little bit more, you might see this guy break out. Another favorite of mine, David Paez, really liked seeing that guy out there step it up, maybe become a leader for this team as well. But again, once again, 33 Bobcats have been drafted under Coach Ty Harrington, who got his 500 win this season. This guy can just flat-out coach baseball, and it's showing now. I mean, four, quote-unquote, five players that have been taken in the major leagues, all these players that are sitting in there now. Is Texas State a baseball school? And let me back that up. I hate that term, saying a baseball school or a football school or whatever it is.
We're not a basketball school.
But, yeah, slowly but surely this team is getting it done and putting it on the map. Great to see. Of course, I guess we should congratulate the UT Longhorns right up the road. They did make the College World Series with a win over Houston. Congratulations, guys.
Did y'all hear about Texas Tech? Well, get into the College World Series as well.
Tech got in there as well.
So that's I guess that'd be surprise name drop right there. I just think that it's really impressive to see that you think of Texas Tech, you're like, you wouldn't think baseball right off the top of your head.
Right.
So that's a lot of give a little shout out to them as well.
Definitely. Anything else on baseball? I'm going to ready to move it along to the pigskin, maybe? All right, let's move it along to football. So 13 Bobcats were named to the All-Sun Belt Conference team this preseason. Count them, 1, 2, 3, 13, all of them. A baker's dozen. The first team came out, running back Robert Lowe, linebacker Michael Arakpo, and kick returner Brandon Smith. Of course, we all know all those names. Robert Lowe ran for 945 yards last season, 9 touchdowns. We all know Big Mike Arakpo, the linebacker, doing his thing. And then kick returner Brandon Smith with the first return to kick and a punt in the game. I think all those guys are definitely deserving of the Sun Belt Conference first team. Any names jump off you out of that one right there?
Of course. I mean, first thing you look at is our defense. You know, we had a lot of guys leave. We had 3 of our 4 starters off the D-line and 3 out of 4 in the secondary leave. So you think, wow, it's a big void to fill. And leadership-wise, somebody's going to have to step up. And you really think about that, first name that comes to your mind is Michael Arakpo. You know, his brother plays for the Washington Redskins, great player, Brian Arakpo at Texas. But last year he had a great season. I think he did a solid job, you know, trying to – basically applying pressure to the quarterback and in coverage. You know, he had, looking at stats here, he had 71 tackles, 4.5 sacks, and 10 tackles for a loss. But the thing is, the guy plays violent, and that's what I like to see when you're Texas State Bobcat defense. You play tough. You look to cause pain. You look to really hit somebody. If you're going to tackle somebody, you make them feel it. And that is exemplified with Arakpo because he had 3 forced fumbles. The guy is always around the ball. He knows how to get to the ball. And I really do think it's going to be up to him to really lead the charge on defense this year. So I think he's deserving of the spot, and I think him and David Mayo can really team up to be a good 1-2 punch here.
And speaking of David Mayo, he made all second team. Linebacker David Mayo, kicker Jason Dan, cornerback Craig Mayer all made the second team. Third team came out, tight end Brad Miller, who I love. The boy catches the ball, he catches touchdowns, awesome. Offensive guard Felix Romero. Fourth team came out as well, our quarterback Tyler Jones showing up. Running back Chris Nuttall, who had 506 yards, 6 touchdowns last season. Offensive guard Adrian Belliard, center Charlie Will Tuttle, and punter Will Jensen made the fourth team. That's 13 Bobcats that made the All-SBC team. Texas State! So, one thing I want to talk about, third team, Felix Romero, the offensive guard, made it as a sophomore. That's awesome. Obviously, Tyler Jones, sophomore, made it as a quarterback as well. Talk about Texas State coming into the Sun Belt Conference, putting their stamp on things. I really like what's going on with this team.
Yeah, looking at the numbers of players that each team brought to the All Sun Belt Conference team, I think the Texas State with 13 was tied for, was it second or third?
I believe it was third.
Third. Yeah. Lafayette, I think, leading the charge once again in that, just as they always are in just about any category. And one of those things, I mean, like, looking at the players that are on the fourth team, I mean, we've talked about the prowess that Tyler Jones brings to the field. And then Will Johnson, I mean, he's a punter that I just watching him punt, there's several times that I'm like, man, I've never seen a ball come off a foot like that. And that's just that it's insane to me how far he can get the ball and just how deep back into their own zone that he can get it every single time.
Well, that about it. It's great to see special teams. We saw Jason Dan, our kicker, on there as well. And everybody loves offense. Everybody loves defense. A lot of times special teams get forgotten about. But, hey, special teams can win you a game or two as far as field position goes. A couple of points on the board. Once again, congratulations to all 13 Bobcats named to the All Sun Belt Conference team. I really think we've got something cooking this season, you know?
I think so. I think I still think we're still in the rebuilding phase, but it's good to know that we're coming out of it because you got guys, you got young talent, you got guys that can play, you got a good solid line in front of you on the offense. I think the offense is going to lack a little bit of firepower this season, but the thing is, it's because they're young. I really do think you're going to see the maturation of Tyler Jones really come to play here. The guy's ready. He's young. I think he's ready to show the world what he's all about, and I'm really excited about you. On paper, you think, oh, well, maybe they don't. Maybe they're still 6-6. I don't think so. I think they do good. I think they break into the winning season category again. And I think we go to a bowl game.
Ooh, a big prediction there.
I think we go to a bowl game this year.
That'd be awesome to see. Yeah, and it's nice that you have two stud running backs in Robert Lowe and Chris Nuttall that you can just hand the ball off to whenever you want to. They've got a nice offensive line that's been there a few years, gelling together. I agree. I see a winning season, and I'm going to jump on that bowl game bandwagon with you.
I'm thinking, we got gypped with the Texas Bowl last year in Houston, so I definitely think we make a strong push, maybe put us against UTSA in a bowl game. That would be...
Are we allowed to say that? Are we allowed to say that word on this radio station? That's a bad word, isn't it? UTSA?
Yeah, we'll have to bleep it out back when we go to editing. Send it to the editing department.
All right, guys. Want to give you a quick reminder about the NCAA Track and Field Championships coming up in Eugene, Oregon, June 11th through the 14th. That's later on this week, actually. We'll have two Bobcats there, Allie Saunders in the triple jump, Darian Brown in the discus throw. Quickly, let's throw it over to Caleb for a little bit of a weather update, since it looks like it's kind of cloudy out there.
Yeah, I looked at the weather here for a second, and it said 79 degrees and slightly overcast, and I got a little bit excited, and then I remembered what I walked into the studio on, and I was getting rained on. So it looks like till about 2 o'clock, it's going to be these little scattered drops here and there. But then after that, looks like it's going to be a pretty good day. So around 3 o'clock, find yourself by the river over there and enjoy a day.
Just might have to do it. Once again, if you're listening along on the Internet, hit us up on Twitter at KTSW Sports. You can hashtag us with Bobcat Radio. You can hashtag us with a little bit of Monday Mojo. Hopefully we're getting your day started off right. If we're not, tag us and let us know. We'll try and do a little bit better. If you want, you can call us right here in the studio at 512-245-FIRE. That's 512-245-3473. If you want to discuss anything we've talked about as far as the players getting drafted in, Bobcat players getting drafted in the MLB, if you want to talk about the football season coming up, next, though, in the second half of the show, we're going to move into a little bit of the more professional side of things. We're going to take a look at the Astros and the Rangers, what they did in the MLB draft. We're going to talk about that AL Rookie of the Year race, which Mr. Springer is right in the middle of. Then, of course, we're going to jump into the NBA Finals, as it was a heck of a game last night. So stick with us. We'll be back with you in just a second.